Today's reading is taken from Luke 11. It's found on page 1042 of the Blue Bibles. Luke 11, verses 1 to 13. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of the disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door's already locked, and my children are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?"
Thanks, Kirsty. Let's pray as we come to God's word together. Our Father, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from your mouth. And so we ask this morning that we would feed on your word, that we'd live in it, that we'd seek to listen to you and to apply what you have to say. Please transform us more and more into the likeness of your Son. And we pray in particular that you would teach us how to pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I had the gift of a father who loved me. When I was a boy, I knew that I could walk into my dad's office or room or living room or wherever he was at any time, and he would listen to me. If I was in trouble, he was ready to help. If I was in need, he was ready to give. If I needed advice, he would offer it to me. I could walk in to his room at any time, and he would listen to me. Sometimes I'd walk in on him in meetings, which was probably not the right thing to do, but I never felt like the door was closed to me. That was a great blessing. Sadly, many don't have that experience of fathers. And unfortunately, my time with my dad was cut far too short. But whatever our experience of fathers, when you hear about or you see the best fathers in action, you get a glimpse of the Christian life. You see, Christians can call God Father. We can enjoy an intimate and loving relationship with him. We can approach him confidently. We can talk to him. We can know him personally. His door is never closed to us. But is that our experience? We all know that God is our Father. We know that we can and should speak to him in prayer. But we need help, because we don't always make the most of that privilege. We don't always make the most of the privilege of being called a child of God. And help is what Jesus gives his disciples in the passage this morning. This passage comes in the middle of a section about properly relating to God. And you might remember, I don't know, a couple of weeks back, Mary and Martha, where the Lord Jesus was visiting their home, and Martha was busy running around with jobs, effectively ignoring Jesus. But Mary sat at Jesus' feet, listening to him. And Jesus taught them that it was better to listen to Jesus' words than to be so busy that we ignore him. And in chapter 11, Jesus expands on what it means to relate to God properly. One day, sometime after that incident, the disciples notice that Jesus is praying. And one of them plucks up the courage to make a request. So verse 1, have a look. I hope you've got the Bibles open. Page 1042, verse 1 of chapter 11. Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples to pray. It's a good request, isn't it? Because the reason he's making the request is that he's acknowledging that they need help to pray. And so do we. As Christians, we all have a sense of duty that we should be praying. But how should we pray? Often we don't know what to pray. Sometimes we don't know when to pray. At other times we feel too weak to pray. Lots of the time we feel too busy to pray. We need help to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. So let's dive in and see what Jesus says. We'll see three things today. First, Christians are to pray dependently. This is verses 2 to 4. Now, verses 2 to 4 are a briefer version of the Lord's Prayer found in the Sermon on the Mount. You may know it well. And it does share much of the same content, but it doesn't match exactly, and that's okay. This teaching was probably delivered on another occasion. And the prayer was never meant to be a formula, like a magic spell or something. It provides principles for what we're to pray about. And we don't have time to go into huge depth on each line. You could take a sermon for each line. And I understand that sometime soon, there'll be another sermon or a series on the Lord's Prayer. Nevertheless, here's the big idea for this section. Christians are to pray dependently. Verse 2, when you pray, say, Father. If you're a Christian, that is the true nature of your relationship with God. He is your Father. Yes, he's all-powerful, he's sovereign, he's mighty, he's glorious, he's unique, but he's not unapproachable. He's your Father. He cares, he protects, he's close. It's deeply personal. My daughter, who's making all the noise, is the only one who can call me Daddy. And she doesn't call Daddy to anyone else. And in the same way, no one else can call God Father. Only those who are his children. Only those united to the Son, Jesus Christ, by faith. It's a huge privilege for us to call God Father. Christians and no one else have access to him like that. Which means that God is never too busy to hear us call on him. In fact, that's exactly what he wants for us. How silly it would be to ignore that privilege. But we do. Imagine a young couple in love. They met, some time ago through some friends and have been getting to know each other better. They've gone on dates, out to dinner, to cafes, maybe to the zoo. In fact, they're so in love that when they go out for dinner, they often get kicked out of the restaurant because it's closing time. They can't stop chatting to each other. And eventually, after getting to know each other really well, they decide to get married. They want to commit to each other for life and properly. And the wedding day comes and everyone's excited, and especially the couple. It's all wonderful. All their family and friends are there. They say their vows. They get pronounced man and wife. They kiss. Everyone cheers. Great time. But then something strange happens. The husband doesn't say much after that. He's distracted by the fun of the wedding. He's out dancing and spending time with his mates. He doesn't speak to his wife for the rest of the evening. The next day, he's too busy to talk to her. He's unwrapping presents. He's sorting out the house. He's calling a plumber. On honeymoon, he ignores the wife for the whole time because he's out swimming and surfing and water skiing and so on. And then he's too tired to chat. When they get home, he goes back to work. He doesn't speak to her properly for weeks. That'd be outrageous, wouldn't it? The husband should be enjoying this new, loving, close relationship with his wife, but he's forgotten the privilege of marriage. Even more spectacular than a marriage between a man and his wife is the relationship between Christians and their Father in heaven. Christians are God's children. It's outrageous if we forget that. We've been adopted into his loving family. Sometimes life is hectic. We're all busy. we can all find reasons not to pray. And if you're anything like me in those busy times, you'll adopt a sort of check-in attitude to prayer with God. Every now and again, we just sort of check in with God and buy us a few more weeks or days of not praying. And say, Lord, I want to talk to you now, but I'm so busy. Please just help me get through this. Now back to my emails. Of course, it's not wrong to pray briefly. But what is wrong is the attitude behind that. That's not Jesus' attitude to prayer. When things got most hectic for Jesus, he prayed. Remember what he did on the last night before he died. He knew he was going to his death. He knew he was walking to the cross. And yet he spent a night in the garden, seeking his Father, talking to him, pouring out his heart to him. Because Jesus depended on his loving Father, with whom he's always enjoyed a perfect relationship. We too can enjoy that relationship. We too can call God Father. We can share in that special relationship. And wonderfully, that relationship is not dependent on our performance, but on parental love. So we're simply called to a childlike trust in God's care. However, just because we can call God Father doesn't mean we should treat him like a buddy. Jesus goes on, he says, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. God's name is more than just a name. God's name in the Bible reflects who he is. Just as Princess Charlotte, for instance, now it is Charlotte, isn't it? It's not Alice. No, it is Charlotte. Just checking. She now carries a royal name. God's name carries a lot of weight with it. It reflects who he is. He is unique and unequaled in the universe. As we dependently pray, we're not just chatting to a mate. We're talking to God. God is holy. God is awesome. God rules over everything. And prayer expresses our dependence on God, because when we pray, we treat God as God. In other words, we pray in response to God himself. And so when we pray, we should come humbly to him. He is God, and we are not. One of the purposes of prayer is to bring our hearts to trust in his wisdom and not our own. Even our most basic needs come from him. He's the provider. And so we pray to him, as Jesus says in verse 3, for our physical needs, give us each day our daily bread. And our spiritual needs, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. The clearer our understanding of who God is, the better our prayers. Because of who he is, both our Father and the Holy Lord of the universe, we should pray dependently. God doesn't just want our requests in prayers. He wants us. He wants ourselves. So that's the first instruction from Jesus. Pray dependently because of who God is. It's no coincidence that Jesus starts with this prayer with God. It helps us to come to him properly. The second instruction is this: pray boldly. I love the story that Jesus tells in verse 5. You can put yourself in the guy's shoes. It's late at night, you're getting ready for bed, and you hear a knock at the door. It's a friend, and he's been traveling. And you haven't seen him for ages, and he needs a bed for the night. He's terribly sorry that he didn't phone ahead, but mobile phones aren't invented yet. And he says, of course, you say, of course, come in, yeah, you're welcome. Tie up your donkey over there, come and have a bed for the night, rest here. Thanks, that's so kind of you, Jake, I knew I could count on you. And then he says, what's for dinner? hold on, I'll be right back. You don't tell him that you run out of supplies, that would be bad form. You need to think fast. The market is shut. There's no 24-hour Tesco in those days. I know. I'll knock on Dave's door. And so you go over to Dave's house, one of your neighbors. Bang, bang, bang. Dave, you in? I need some help. A friend of mine has come on a journey, and I have no food to offer him. Go away, Jake. It's late. The door's locked, I'm in bed, the wife and children are asleep, and so is the cat. If I get up, everyone will wake up. But you don't give up, you persist. Go on, Dave, just pass some bread through the letterbox, and I'll leave you alone. Dave, Dave, Dave. Oh, all right, fine. You've got some nerve, Jake. Now, Jesus uses that story to encourage us to pray. He says in verse 8, I tell you, even though he, his name may have not been Dave, will not get up and give you the bread because of his friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. We're to pray to God boldly and persistently. God our Father wants us to bother him in prayer. Sometimes we don't pray because we don't think God will bother with us when we come to him with our requests. We don't want to bother him. He's too important. He's got too many other things to do to worry about little old me. But God wants us to bother him in prayer. James, one of the writers of the New Testament, wrote this in his book, chapter 4, verse 2. James said, you don't have because you do not ask God. It's not that God wants to play games with us. It's that he desires that we come to him and depend on him all the time. We don't have to pray in special ways and at special time. We can come banging on his door day or night. I don't know about you, but when I'm out and about, I'm terribly embarrassed to make extra requests. When we go on holiday, my wife, Nicola, I have got her permission to say this, isn't terribly afraid to make extra requests. So she'll ask for an upgrade. When we're out for dinner, she'll ask for the table with the view. I just hide in the background. But she says, if you don't ask, you don't get. And she's right. I'm just a coward. We don't need to be awkward and British about our prayers. We can cry out to God, God, I know you're there. Father, please help me. God wants us to pester him. Now that might leave you thinking that prayer sounds an awful lot of hard work. And you know what it is? Prayer is often hard work. Sometimes we wrestle in prayer just to pray. But unlike Dave in the story, God doesn't sleep. He's not too tired to answer us. He doesn't find it hard to hear us. We may not always get answers immediately, but that's not a bad thing. Because we need to know that God is God. And God often waits to give us blessing until we've prayed for it persistently. Why? Well, we don't always know the answer to that. But what we can know is that gifts from God that aren't acknowledged can be deadly. So when we don't ask for something and we receive some blessing of some sort or whatever, those things, the things that we have provided for us, make us think that we're fine without God. We can be overconfident in ourselves and we forget that we're entirely dependent on him. So pray boldly. Pray persistently. Those words ask, seek, knock in verse 9 are continuous words. They're not one-time things. In other words, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Don't give up. We have access to the Father whenever and wherever. His door is never closed. But that still leaves us with a question. And I'm sure it's going round in your head right now. What if my prayers are still unanswered? Am I doing something wrong? Am I not praying enough? Well, Jesus answers those questions in the final part of the passage. Here's point 3. Pray expectantly. Verse 9. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Here's what we know about God. He is always ready to answer our prayers. He's never unwilling to give. He's good. He's generous. He cares for his children. He's a loving heavenly Father. So why is it that some of our prayers go unanswered? Precisely for those same reasons. because God is good, he won't always give us what we ask for. He knows what is good for us. He won't give us scorpions or snakes, even though sometimes that is what we're asking for unknowingly. And we don't always recognize that. We don't know why God's answer is sometimes no. But God expects boldness when it comes to prayer. And the answer, or the asking in the passage, is not open-ended. God is not a genie in a lamp who does what we wish at our command. God is God, we're not, remember. However, because of his character, because he's our Father, because he cares for us, we can be confident always that he gives us what is best for us. Sometimes that is really hard to hear. And what is best for us? Well, look at verse 13 at the passage. It's very striking. What's best for us? God himself. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? God promises to give us the Holy Spirit when we return to him through Christ. That's what happened, by the way, when you came to Christ as a believer. God's Spirit filled you and dwells within you. But even today, we can continue to draw on the Spirit's reserves. God, through his Spirit, promises to give us everything we need to continue walking with Christ through life. If it's strength to keep us going in times of trial, God will give generously to those who ask him. If it's wisdom to live a godly life, God will give generously to those who ask him. If it's power to fight sin, God will give generously to those who ask him. That's the stuff we need every day. We tend to turn to God in prayer in times of need, materially. But if we're wise in the Christian life, we'll see that we're always in need spiritually. Those things are far more important. We can't carry our material possessions into eternity. And sometimes we may need to ask the question whether we're asking for the right things. Jesus has taught us the types of things we should be praying for in verses 2 to 4. Provision for today, forgiveness of sins, help to live a godly life. Now, does that mean we shouldn't pray for anything else, things that clearly aren't promised, like good health or a steady job or a husband or a wife? One old writer said, I love this, he says, pour out your heart's desire, so don't worry about asking for the wrong things. Just feel free to ask those things of God, but remember the wisdom and goodness of God as you do so. We may not always receive what we think we want, but we will always get him. Will always get his wisdom and goodness. A child can approach his dad in times of need and he'll provide for him. Neighbors can call on other neighbors in times of need and they'll get help. But Jesus' point is clear. How much more will our Heavenly Father provide for us with what we need when we seek him? Please don't mishear me. It is hard to trust God sometimes, especially when we can't see him. But God is not a cosmic grouch. He desires what is best for us. He shows us the extent of his commitment to us, and especially as we'll remember later in the sacrifice of his son who shed his blood for us, who gave his body for us on the cross. So give yourselves to God in prayer. All Christians should enjoy a regular, faithful, devoted prayer life, because when we come to our Father, his arms are wide open. His door is never shut. He is good. How can we forget that awesome, wonderful privilege? God is our Father. He's approachable, generous, gracious, and ready to hear our prayers. He's also holy. He's the all-powerful provider who knows exactly what we need. When we get that, we'll enjoy the privilege of prayer more. We'll pray more dependently, boldly, and expectantly. Let's do that together now as I close. Father, hallowed be your name. We come to you, our gracious, loving, powerful, holy Father, and praise you for who you are. We do ask that you provide for what we need today. Please help us to trust you in your provision. Forgive us when we ask for things which are selfish. Forgive us for when our pride and arrogance leads us to think that we know best. Please help us to live lives which are dependent on your goodness and grace. Please help us to come to you in prayer. Teach us to pray. Help us to remember and not to be tempted to think that we're self-sufficient. Our Father, thank you for this wonderful passage. Thank you for the Lord Jesus, who gave himself for us and helps us as our brother, our Savior, and our King. And we ask all of this in his precious and royal name. Amen.